possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
We go out to the fan hotline. We talk to Lindsay Rhodes, part of Sumer Sports, as she joins us here on 92.3. Hello, Lindsay. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good. And so I thought it was fitting that because I believe like a couple times ago we had you on, and this was right at the end or close to the end of the season, and you kind of kicked the hornet's nest in the Myles Garrett trade conversation. So I'll bring you another trade scenario that we've kind of been going through today. Is there any chance tomorrow is an audition for Shador to be traded?
Oh, I actually hadn't even thought about that. An audition for Shador to be traded. I don't think so. And the reason that I don't think so is because I think you don't know what you're getting out of either of these two rookies that you drafted this year. And I think if there's anyone in the league who is just obviously looking for a quarterback of the future, it's the Browns. And so why would the Browns trade away somebody who we don't yet know is not their quarterback of the future? So, no, I don't see that happening. Is that something you guys think is possible? I'd love to hear why.
Well, I just threw it out there for fun because it's a Friday. And also, too, that it's not like well, it's not like they're giving him a lot of opportunity right now. I mean, his opportunities in camp have been few and far between. He gets most of his work done before practice and during the we'll call it the opportunity period after practice. And, you know, they just don't it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of commitment there. So I'm in my mind trying to figure out how do you keep four quarterbacks on this roster, because they're probably going to need four quarterbacks. And, either trading Kenny Pickett or Shador Sanders seems to be, like, the most logical in there. And so the question that I was asking, Lindsay, is Shador Sanders more of a legitimate prospect and project for the Browns, or is he a greater asset to them right now?
I think that if anyone were to be traded, it would be Kenny Pickett, and it would be for very little compensation. And obviously, if you were to dangle either of those two people, I think that Shador would be more intriguing because who knows where this is going at this point. And, you know, you could probably suggest that he has played better in the preseason than some people expected him to. It's the preseason. Who's it against? What the game planning situations? I get all of that. But I think from a build standpoint, I think it's been obvious for a while that Joe Flacco is the guy that they would probably start the season with. I think you've got a good six games at the start of the season that is just a wildly tough schedule. You've got the bye's in week 9, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's two games right before that I think are a little bit less competitive than the first six. So the way that I see it is you start the season, you get through the tough stretch, you create a floor for your team to just, you know, establish some level of production. And then if you're not surprising people in winning more games than people expect, then maybe around week 7 or 8, you can put a rookie on the field, pivot towards, like, now we're building to something. You have to always think about, too, and I know that the Browns are interesting because the front office feels actually fairly safe because of the whole, well, I mean, they've been pretty clear there that they are safe, and I think that that's tied to what happened to Sean Watson. But I think you want to always be giving the fans a reason and ownership in order to keep your job, a reason for hope that it's about to get maybe better, right? So if you go to a rookie at some point in the season, you say, okay, we're not winning games, but we're going to put somebody on the field. We might not win these games either, but we'll build some optimism. We'll get some reps and we'll figure out if we have somebody by the end of the season. So to me, it makes sense to keep both of the rookies so that you have more options for when that time comes. I don't see a scenario where Kenny Pickett gets on the field. We were actually talking about this today, my co-host at Sumer Sports and our senior data scientist, Sam Bruckhaus, about why they would keep Kenny Pickett. And I think that the only scenario that exists for that is as a backup to Joe Flacco in the early part of the season, where they know they want to start somebody who has some experience and a higher floor. And so, like, let's say Joe Flacco gets hurt in week three. It might tell us that they don't feel comfortable enough about where Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders are in their development, that if he were to get hurt at that point in the season, that they would feel comfortable putting those guys on the field.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Lindsay. I do agree with that. So let me ask you, though, because then you brought in the – and maybe this is what Daryl's getting at with the is he a trade asset, Shedeur Sanders, that is. If you bring in Dylan Gabriel after Joe Flacco, let's say Joe Flacco does play 6, 7, 8 games – if Dylan Gabriel plays 6 games himself, or maybe he even looks decent, it's just not enough time to really evaluate Shedeur after that.
True, but what if Dylan doesn't look decent? What if Dylan doesn't look good? And then they want to turn to Shedeur and say, maybe you're the guy. I agree with your premise that it's tough to have rookie quarterbacks that you are, quote-unquote, developing if they're not going to play. Because one of the things that I think goes under-talked about and is the fact that in NFL front offices and teams, the development just doesn't happen as much as we talk about it happening around draft time. Like, people talk all the time around draft time about drafting a developmental quarterback in the third. And I'm like, okay, that I get that, but that's a high draft asset where you could actually be getting somebody who's going to be on the field for you. And when are they going to develop that guy? How is that development going to happen? And I think Anthony Richardson's a great example of that, a guy who was taken number 4 overall that was a quote-unquote developmental guy. Everybody knew at the time that his traits were wild, but he was going to need some work and that they were going to have to quote-unquote develop him. And here we are like 3 years later, and he doesn't look that developed. And I think that once you get under the hamster wheel of the season, everyone's so busy preparing for that next game. Nobody has time to take a backup quarterback aside and say, hey, let's really get into the weeds about the tape and how you're doing this. Like, all of the assets go towards winning the next game. So that is where the development does become a little bit problematic potentially. But I just think that I have to believe at this point that the unknown potential that you could maybe attach to Shedeur Sanders is going to be more valuable to the Browns at this stage of the game than it will be for someone else.
How much does the fact that they're sitting on 2 first-round picks next year after trading out of number 2 with Jacksonville, sliding down a couple of spots where they took Mason Graham at 5 overall, how much of that is a little bit of an ace up their sleeve and that gives them the latitude this year to play around with these rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, very much. Very much. And I think and that's another reason why I think it absolutely makes sense at a certain point in the season. Again, the caveat here is if they start winning with Joe Flacco, which most people are not predicting that they're going to win a lot of games in that first, part of the season. But if they do, then the conversation shifts to a degree. But assuming that they don't, then they can spend the whole second part of the season just sort of throwing darts at a dartboard with those 2 quarterbacks and just seeing if they have anything there. And then they have maneuverability for next year because of those 2 firsts. They're certainly positioned well to just take another stab at it. So I would think that you definitely want to see those guys on the field at some point this season.
Lindsay Rhodes, part of Sumer Sports, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan and The Fan Hotline. So let me ask you, within Joe Flacco in the context of him, I'm convinced he could be one of these quarterbacks that could try to play till he's 45. He has the arm strength. We see it out here in practice. But how good does Joe Flacco have to be to keep his job beyond just that first 6, 7, 8 game stretch?
I think that's a win. I don't think it matters how good he is at all unless how good he is leads to W. because if you're not winning, then they have to think about the health of the franchise long term. Like, it's obviously not Joe Flacco, right? Just from an age standpoint. At this point, Joe Flacco is going to be a bridge or a backup wherever he goes. And so I think even if he played out of his mind and looked like the Joe Flacco of old, if it's not translating to wins, I don't think that matters to the Browns in the long term, because he's not going to be your guy. So you have to, at some point, figure out what you have with the rookies and try to position yourself to win long term with a better quarterback situation. So I don't know if that's really the answer you were looking for, because they did not put any kind of like number on it for Joe Flacco. I just don't necessarily think it matters unless they can win.
Lindsay, the defensive line appears to be the best feature of this Browns team, and not just preseason in camp. And I know in camp it's hard to judge because you're going against your own guys, but heard really good returns about the joint practices in Carolina as well as against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Can the Browns defense carry them this year? Is that possible in today's modern NFL, where it's a, you know, it's quarterback league, it's a high scoring league, those type of things? Can the Browns win with their defense?
I think the only way that a team can win because of their defense is if the offense is at least average, NFL average. So they can keep the score down. You still have to put points on the board. Like, I don't think it's reasonable to expect them to hold teams to, like, you know, 8 points a game. I just don't think that's really in the cards. And so then it becomes, you still have to find a way to outscore them. So I think where that becomes a factor is if the Browns could at least field an NFL average offense as opposed to a bottom half, maybe, certainly not a bottom third, then it gives that type of an offense a chance to get over the hump in some of those games by keeping them in it. But no, I don't think that, you know, the saying defense wins championships, that might be true. They don't win the regular season, in my opinion. It's very, very, I mean, and also, you know, I'm here at a fantasy event, and we talked about the concept of not drafting defenses in fantasy until the last round. The reason there is because your ability to have a very good defensive outing is usually, it's reactive to what type of offense you're playing and how good the offense is. And so if your schedule is going to have you playing the Ravens and the Bengals and, you know, any other like offenses that are at least going to put up a certain, like, their floor is very high, I think, in terms of the average. I think that the volatility attached to defensive play is just too all over the map for the defense to be that valuable that it actually, you know, turns a loss to a win if the offense isn't capable of doing that on their own.
Lindsay, obviously we think the Browns are watchable because they're our local team and we're going to watch these games because that's what we do. But like, how watchable are the Browns this season for yourself?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think they're high on my list of teams that I will carve out time to watch. The one thing that I would be very interested in, particularly in the early part of the season, is just to get a feel for what it looks like. Because, you know, it wasn't particularly good last year. And so there's an element of, did they do things this year that now need to be on my radar in terms of the changes that they made?
Mm-hmm.
How much different are they going to look? I think, you know, I'm big into fantasy, and so there will be an element of, with Joe Flacco as the quarterback, who are the offensive weapons here that actually benefit from that specific relationship. And I think that's a big question that fantasy people are asking. Is it Njoku? Does he go up a little bit now that we know for sure that it's going to be Joe Flacco?
It should be, Lindsay. That connection 2 years ago was real.
I agree. Will Jerry Jeudy look the way that he did at the end of the year last year? There are a lot of questions that people are asking, I think, about this offense. I think we know less about them in terms of who we can count on consistently. And so I think that there will be some interest in that sense. But, you know, I think that this is a team that's expected to not win the most games in the NFL this year. And so in that sense, I think attention will probably go elsewhere. And that actually is an argument, as I'm saying it, for them putting Shedeur Sanders on the field at some point also. Because if you're trying to get seats in the stadium and you're trying to, at a certain point in the season, just generate some interest in the team, then that will certainly do that. I don't think that that's their priority at all right now. But at a certain point in the season, they can check a couple of boxes by trying to get Shedeur Sanders on the field. A, can he play in the NFL? Let's find out. B, let's get a read on what that answer is in terms of our future roster building. And then C, also let's sell some tickets, because there's no doubt that he'll help do that.
Lindsay, you're fantastic as always. We check you out at Sumer Sports, and we hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate the time.
All right, Lindsay Rhodes right there, of course, on the Fan Hotline. She's always a delight. She's always I don't know what fantasy convention is going on right there. I love the idea that there's like a fantasy football convention happening right now.
I got a draft coming up. I was about to fire off some questions,
oh, really?
To try and get some inside tips.
I wouldn't let you do it. I mean, there's movers and shakers right there in that fantasy world. Lindsay's always so good at like the in-depth side of the NFL. And
she
like,
had my attention about not drafting a defense until the final round.
Is that a thing?
It's part of the strategy, yeah.
I'm awful with fantasy football strategy. I really am. You know who drafted my fantasy football team last year? True story.
Your wife?
No, Jake Vonick. I let Jake draft my fantasy team last year, and then I was in the championship game. And so I'm like, Jake, I'm going to need you to draft it again this year, but he's got the night show now, and so he's going to be busy during my draft.
Oh,
and
man.
I kind of want to be like, hey, screw that like 9 o'clock segment. Just worry about my fantasy football team. But I won't do that to him.
Well, you tell him, go ahead and tape the 9 o'clock
segment. He was going to be my fantasy football Sherpa for like years to come, and now everything changed.
Did he get a piece of the pie?
So that was the big question, was what the breakoff was going to be for him. I did end up giving him a nice bottle of rum, but because the payout structure is so one-sided for the championship winner instead of the runner-up, it just really wasn't very, like, I didn't really make much money.
Give me some rum, I'll draft your team. Won't be any good, but I'll take the rum.
Well, so that was the payoff, is I gave him a bottle of rum that I already had that was a good bottle of rum, but I didn't spend any extra money on it or anything like that. But it's a good bottle because he's young and likes alcohol that way, and we just kind of let that be what it was. So I could at least pocket some change, Daryl. But if I'd won the championship, I was going to break him off a nice piece.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress,
to visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I didn't win, though.
Should have drafted better. Well, or maybe you should have managed the roster better.
No. Jake drafted Jaden Daniels. He was ahead on him. All right, so we'll get into more about Lindsey and what she had to say. How good does Joe Flacco have to be to keep his job? That and more. Daryl Ryder, Jonathan Peter, an afternoon drive with you guys right here on The Fan.
I don't know how this always happens. We're like, whenever Keith asks, I feel like it's also exclusively with you.
Yeah, no, I noticed.
Whenever he asks me, you must think I like hate you or something. Like,
Three hours
with JP is better than five. I'm just going to miss a few.
Do I think you dislike Nick Wilson right now? Yeah, maybe a little bit. The cookout comments have gone a long way with
you.
That's true. And you know you were invited to my cookout, so at least between me and Nick, I think we're copacetic. I think I'm the favorite of the two at this point.
I just don't know why my son's daycare is always closed on the days that Keith asked me to
But
fill
it
in.
Is right.
It never fails. It never. And this was one where I was like, he asked me like a week ago. He was like, oh, yeah, August 22nd. I was like, oh, totally. I'm good for that. Browns are not practice. Like, let's do it. And then I was like, my wife was like, hey, just remember, like, it's closed on Friday. I was like, what? Are we serious?
Closed on Friday. I can't even imagine. So last night we had the very first parent-teacher conference of my life.
Oh, okay.
Charlotte's going into pre-preschool, okay?
Okay.
So it's like, and basically at that point it is just a daycare is all it is.
Yeah.
But she's only doing 2 days a week. That's it. It's just going to be like a Thursday-Friday thing. We got baby number two coming in about a month or so. And so because I watch Charlotte in the mornings and everything like that. And I just don't know how it's going to go watching Charlotte, watching another kid and doing everything. So anyway, the long story short, like we're getting ready to like get her socialize, get her with other kids, and we go to this parent-teacher thing last night, which is bonkers, by the way, that they do this parent-teacher event where no kids are allowed. It's like, well, hold on. I get why no kids are allowed, but that means like everyone has to get a babysitter for this thing? Like,
that's wild.
It's kind of wild.
That's supposed to be why we're coming to you.
Right, we're coming to you so you could watch our kids, not so that we could do these meetings where then we have to get other people to watch our kids. Makes no sense to me at all. Should not have been the setup, but that's the setup. And so we go last night, and it's a lot of fun, and you meet all the parents. You do the thing that I absolutely hate doing. For some reason, anytime you sit in a circle and you have to like tell people about yourself, I dread that more than anything. But I married somebody that loves doing that.
Oh, I'm the same. My wife gets on me all the time because she's like expensive. Like we'll go meet like people we haven't seen in a while. Like we'll go see people we haven't seen in a while, or like meet new family that we haven't really caught up with or whatever. And my wife gets on me because she's like, you're... description of what you do is like terrible because my problem, JP, is like, I don't know where to start. Cause I have like 3-4 different jobs.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, do I tell them that like I'm a part-time host of 92 Through the Fan? Or do I tell them that like I host a Locked On Browns podcast that they probably haven't heard of? Or do I tell them that like I write for SI?
Thanks to Dylan Gabriel, you can just say entertainer.
That's true.
Well, what do you do?
I'm just a local entertainer. That's it.
And then they'll also...
They can research me later.
You want them to really think you're a clown. You just say that. Local entertainer. Local entertainer could also be like you get in an Elmo costume and go to kids' parties.
That's very true.
But yeah, it's tough. So we're sitting around and I'm like having to like introduce myself and do that whole ordeal. And I'm going through so many parts of this that is just so different for me. And ultimately, I just... I'm really excited for the couple days. Like, I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good thing for her. But it's a different world, man.
It has been a rough summer. Like, we generally over the summer, because my wife's off work because she works in a school district, he stays home most days with us. But we usually would send him like one day. But the last couple weeks, it was like he was sick. Something else came up. Daycare was closed this week.
Long story short on it for myself is that I didn't realize they just close on Fridays for whatever random reason.
Well, so ours is like a woman who does it like in her house. We are kind of like at her mercy of like, if she's taking a trip or something, or like a long weekend in the summer, like we kind of just have to like, okay, whatever. Like So, because we
house
save,
daycare must be pretty affordable.
It's definitely more affordable, which is nice. But that's why, like
this
I
is
said,
like me having
we're
an Amish,
kind of at her
this
mercy.
Is, this is me having an Amish housekeeper.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
With every little thing. Exactly. You get to you know, get a little discount here and there.
That's the downside.
I
like,
make her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't have to pay as much.
But that's the thing. It's like we are at her mercy when it comes to her schedule for like when she, her daycare is open or not.
Okay.
And so, like I said, like the last couple weeks have just been a disaster in terms of like him not really going much. And so we are counting down the days till Tuesday when he goes back. We're like, okay, it is time for you to go back to daycare. We are over this. He's like so out of his routine at this point. So you will, I'm sure, feel similar. It's just, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like spending time with my child. I love spending time with my child, but it's just nice as a parent. You never get to turn it off. You go to work and then you come home and it's like, it's your second job. So when you get those moments where it's like, oh, I can just be home now and like function as an adult and like get my work done. That's kind of nice sometimes. It's just nice to have that.
Well, see,
sometimes.
I'm still not going to be able to get that though. Cause I'll be watching the
that's
other,
true.
I'll be watching the second baby.
That's very true. Yes.
And so I'll still be having something that I'm going to have to account for, which is fine. I've balanced that all out. We're going to do all right. We'll be all right. And we'll get this going. All right. Lindsay Rhodes joined us. I don't know how much of that you were able to catch on your ride in, but I did want to give you an opportunity. So Daryl was with us for the first couple hours and Daryl posited this idea that Shador tomorrow could be setting himself up to potentially be traded. And it's an interesting thought. We went down the whole exercise of it and I want to get your thoughts, but this is Lindsay Rhodes on whether or not Shador is just auditioning for a trade tomorrow.
I don't think so. And the reason that I don't think so is you don't know what you're getting out of either of these two rookies that you drafted this year. And I think if there's anyone in the league who is just obviously looking for a quarterback of the future, it's the Browns. And so why would the Browns trade away somebody who we don't yet know is not their quarterback of the future? So, no, I don't see that happening.
What do you think about that?
So I heard you and Daryl talk about this to start the show. I heard her comments on it driving in. And I think like what you guys were alluding to earlier is 100% spot on when it comes to if there's a team that would really relish the idea of, hey, we took this guy in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
And he shouldn't have gone in the fifth round, but he went in the fifth round. And now all of a sudden we're going to turn him into a third round pick. It would be Andrew Berry and the analytics gurus that you know do business over there in Berea. Like they would absolutely love that. They would love to turn him into a higher draft pick for next year because we know what they're doing right now. I mean, they just traded Juwan Briggs in the seventh round pick for a sixth round pick. They are stockpiling as many picks as possible, knowing that next year is the year they really got to sort of put the finishing touches on this roster that they're trying to reshape. And so this organization would absolutely love that. And so I actually am, as we get closer and closer to kickoff, I am getting more and more nervous that is maybe what's in play here. Because if somebody were to wow them.
Then. All right. Welcome to the party, Spencer German.
If somebody were to wow them with an offer, like after this, if Shador goes out.
Appetizers served at 4:15, main entrees at 6 o'clock. The clown's coming at 7:15. Welcome to the party, Spencer German.
If Shador goes out and gives you a performance that is comparable to what he did his first time out. I don't know how the Browns wouldn't get like really giddy about the idea of some team called and said, hey, we'll give you a third round pick for him. How do they say no to that? Like, I'm not saying I want them to do it. That's what makes me nervous about it because I want to see, you know this, you and I are on the
You're
same
a Shador
page.
Guy.
We want to see Shador here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a colossal mistake if they didn't at least see what they had in the player in actual meaningful football games before just trading him, because that just reads as the next great thing that we're talking about down the line of like, man, what's the next thing that the Browns screwed up? Well, they got rid of Baker Mayfield and added Deshaun Watson. They botched that one. And then before they even let Shador Sanders play a meaningful game, they decided, hey, you know what? We're going to trade him. We don't care. But they would do it because they love Dylan Gabriel. And they took Dylan Gabriel first.
I just imagine a world where you're like, I need to see Dylan Gabriel above Shador Sanders. That's not a world I want to live in, by the way. Like, what simulation is that? It just doesn't make any sense to me. But it's how they've operated this entire stretch.
Yeah, like the depth chart hasn't changed since the start. I know they framed it as an open competition, but it was really just a competition between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And then Kenny Pickett got hurt, and it was just Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And there was nobody else really that had a shot. And I this is the thing. Like, I am convinced they're keeping four quarterbacks next week, so I don't think it's... In my heart of hearts, I don't think it's going to happen. But there's this inner voice that's like, what if this happens, Spencer? Like, what if he's just auditioning? They're going to get a third-round pick for him because I could see them absolutely accepting that. But I am under the belief that they're going to keep four quarterbacks come Tuesday when the roster gets cut down to 53 players.
Hold on. The thing I didn't ask Daryl about is whether or not you think this would be something that Shador would be – very happy to have happen. Because if you lay out...
If he got traded?
Well, if you lay out the idea that it's going to take a lot for Shador to even be able to play this season, I think he'll eventually get in. But if you go Joe Flacco, and if they love Dylan Gabriel, I can't explain why. But if they love Dylan as much as they tell us they love Dylan...
Supercomputer brain.
Yeah, right? You go Flacco into Dylan Gabriel, and then how many... He's getting scraps. How many games is Shador actually getting? Like, there's a world out there
especially
where Shador,
if Dylan plays well for a few games... And
well,
like,
and then
we
that's
like
the other side
see.
Of that. So, like, so Browns fans that want to see Shador have to sit there and just root for Dylan to puke all over his shoes so that Shador can have enough time to be evaluated? Because you're going to go into the 2026 draft class and take a quarterback with your first-round selection. That's what they're going to do, but they'll definitely do it if you haven't had enough time to see Shador.
Well, and that's why I'm convinced they're keeping four quarterbacks, but I think keeping four quarterbacks is, like, the dumbest decision, like, in terms of, like, an actual plan at the quarterback position. Like, what is that plan? That plan is, hey, we're going to put... I get the first part of it. I get where it's like, we're going to put Joe Flacco out there and let him be sort of the crash test dummy for these first six games. And listen, if it works out and Joe's great and you somehow make the playoffs out of it, nobody's going to care about the rookie quarterbacks as much. They'll be like, okay, we got a bonus playoff season somehow. But if he falters, which is what I think most of us are envisioning is going to happen, and he gets through those first six games and it's like, all right, we need to make a change, what is the point of going to Kenny Pickett? What is the point of that?
Nothing.
When you know that your season's already on the brink, maybe you're like 2-4, 1-5, and you're like, well, hey, someone's got to save the season. What are you doing?
Well, especially
why are you trying to save the season? You're like 6 weeks in already. Just like see what you got in the rookies. Well, that's not a plan.
Especially since the idea that Kenny Pickett's a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, like that is
he's not even like a long-term solution for yourself.
As much as I think they're keeping four quarterbacks, it does not seem like the prudent plan at quarterback. I can't wrap my head around that being their plan at quarterback unless their plan is really, we're going to try to prolong convincing everybody that we're trying to win as long as we can. And that just doesn't make sense to me because we know where this team is really at. To me, it was find the guy that you want to start the season with, know that he's out there for the first stretch of the season, and then go to these rookies and at least get, even if it's like 5 games and 5 games or whatever, or 5 games and 6 games, whatever it ends up being, at least you get a more sound evaluation than if they both end up with like 3 games and 2 games.
I don't even
or
know that
whatever.
6 games is enough. Five
I mean,
or six
not,
games doesn't seem like enough
not,
to me at all.
But at least it's better than if you're just given, like you said, Shador Sanders table scraps at the end of the year, and it means absolutely nothing. We don't need. Well, he doesn't need to go out there and be DTR in week 17 last year.
But that's
like,
why if I'm Shador, though, I do kind of wonder if going to the Rams and betting on Matthew Stafford's health and being the first one out of the chute there might actually end up being a better alternative
probably.
For him. And it might be the type of thing 3 years down the line we look up. And it's like, wait, Shador still hasn't been able to play because of reasons X, Y, and Z. And then Shador's got to be livid that that's the outcome. There's a million different directions this can go. But if you...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
An artist.
An actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you believe the way that Daryl does and the way that you do and the way that I do, that they really do like Dylan Gabriel more than Shador Sanders, you can see how this becomes pretty problematic for Shador pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, and to Lindsey's point on, they're the team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback. Why would they get rid of either of these guys at this juncture when they're trying to find that position? I go back to, again, keeping four quarterbacks is so stupid in that scenario.
Yeah,
and because if that's your goal, is we got to find a franchise quarterback, having Kenny Pickett as the number two quarterback that's waiting in the wings for when Joe Flacco falters makes no sense whatsoever.
And unfortunately for Lindsey, just because she's not local, she's very smart and she's very good around the NFL, but just because she's not local, she doesn't have the perception to understand that this team just operates with the idea that if they could trade a fifth for a third, they love that.
Yeah.
Like that's everything for them. They would think that's insanely awesome. They might throw themselves a party. Little dinosaurs and all on the front. It's ridiculous. 216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. Obviously, you can get at us on Twitter as well, at Jay Peterlin, at Spencito _. But I want to hear from you guys. How good does Joe Flacco have to be in order to keep his job? Busy 4 o'clock hour as we move into the 5 o'clock hour with the lead coming up in 25 minutes as well. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. So Jake presented it to me earlier today and was like, so like there's this Darren McFadden audio and he speaks really highly of Joe Flacco. And I'm like, well, what does he say that's great? And he's like, well, you know, he says like what Joe Flacco has to do in order to like keep winning. And I'm like, all right, sounds awesome. And he goes, he also says goat and afloat like 12 million times. And I'm like, there's no way he says it that many times. And then you listen to it and really it's the funniest clip in the world. Because not only does he make the case that Joe Flacco has to be the GOAT in order to stay afloat, but he continues to only use GOAT and afloat and rhyme like he's Dr. Seuss.
Also, isn't the point of Tom Brady being known as the GOAT that like he didn't just keep his teams afloat? Like he was like really, really good. And the teams he played with were like really, really good. Like keeping the team afloat is what I've been saying Joe Flacco said to do all offseason. It was like, hey, yeah, listen, just be better than last year's offense, which was awful. That's keeping the team afloat. Like, what are we talking about?
He's like really, really good. Yeah, exactly right. How good does Joe Flacco have to be to keep his job? And when we asked Lindsey this question, Lindsey was just like, basically, she turned into Jameis Winston and eating W. She's like, you got to win a lot is the point. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, okay, that's a very easy way of looking at it. But I do think we have to separate the idea of wins versus how the quarterback actually looks. If he wins, yes, he'll keep being the quarterback. You would think there's a correlation there as well. Yeah. I'm more interested in how long he keeps his job if he's losing games, though.
So are we doing like the thing where we look at the schedule and we say like, well, if they come out of this first six games,
not doing the schedule game, not doing anything attached to that. But
you just want to know like, what does he have to like? What does his play have to be?
There does become a spot where it is, and I think we're already there in the beginning portion of the year where you can argue that it's better to see the rookie quarterbacks because you're on a fact finding mission and then you're learning about these quarterbacks, right? There also hits a spot in the season where if Joe Flacco just is meh, then what are we really doing here?
Now,
I hate the idea of throwing out these rookie quarterbacks, although I shouldn't say hate. I would be fine if they had started the season Shador and then just let him go. I'd also would have been fine if it was Dylan into Shador as well. But I get what they're doing in the first six, seven games, whatever it is. Tough part of the schedule. You're trying to win games. You're trying to tell the locker room that you're trying to win games and you're trying to get after it. But at what point, if they start losing games, does it matter how Joe Flacco looks?
Yeah, I think this is part of the problem with like the plan, though, too, is like because they're trying to bridge that gap between being good and rebuilding. It's like, well, we have to try to win, so we might as well put Joe Flacco out there first. But to me, I think it has to be like what we saw in 2023, right? We're like, and to be fair, Flacco wasn't like perfect in 2023. There were some mistakes. There were some picks.
He had a three interception game against Chicago.
Yeah, and somehow they pulled it out. And a lot of that centered around how good the defense was that year. The nice thing is, like, if replicating 2023 is the goal for Joe Flacco, I think this defense has a chance to potentially do that because the defensive line is damn good. The secondary, I have some questions. The middle of the defense, I think Carson Schlesinger is awesome, but still some questions about the depth of that group, obviously. But if that defensive line is as dominant as I think it could be, yeah, like the rest of the defense could kind of hold its own and still get back to being dominant, and then maybe that keeps them afloat. And then Joe Flacco just kind of has to be what he was in 2023, winning games, and not like, and it can't be winning in spite of him. Like there, last year, like, there was a couple times where the team almost won, like, in spite of Jameis Winston. Like, the Broncos game, if they had pulled that out, it would have been in spite of Jameis Winston that they pulled it out. Well,
that defense was optional game.
Right, right. But, like, it can't be that. It has to be like, okay, Flacco's not perfect. He's making some mistakes, but he's doing more to sort of overcome those things. And I think that's largely what we saw in 2023. But if it's not that, and if it's Joe Flacco from Indianapolis last year, where like you get maybe a couple good games, then you get like a stretch of bad games. Like, yeah, he is not long for this job. And I do think that first six games kind of is the cutoff where you would then pivot to the next quarterback. But it could be even sooner if the team starts like 0-4. I don't know how you don't go, especially if they keep Kenny Pickett and they love Kenny Pickett. How do you not go off of it sooner?
Well, so that's the other side of this, right? If Kenny Pickett's still on the roster, they clearly want to see what Kenny Pickett can do.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it, but they clearly want to see what Kenny Pickett can do. And it's going to be an interesting how they navigate through all this and how Joe Flacco looks in the process of it. Because I doubt how he's going to look like the GOAT. I really do. And I doubt he's going to look just absolutely poor, too. I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. And then we'll kind of evaluate and go from there. But there's so many different ways that this can go down, where you're losing games, but he's looking good, and what do they do? Or even you're winning games, but he's not the reason why you're winning games. The defense is just awesome. That's going to be a little bit of a wrinkle for Browns fans to try to get their heads around.
Yeah, it's almost one of those things where, like, if they're winning games and he doesn't look great, you sort of... There'll come a time where Kevin Stefanski, if they're trying to like salvage the season, is going to have to just make that decision on his own. Like, it won't be made for him. It'll be like, all right, we need better quarterback play here, so we're going to make a change if he's willing to do that. But I don't know. It's an interesting setup. I don't need to see Kenny Pickett either. If they keep him and then ultimately trade him, I'd be fine with that. But you're right. Like, they seem committed to, on some level, wanting to see Kenny Pickett play and show what he can do. I don't know. Like, I'm not anticipating Joe Flacco starting all 17 games. I'm barely anticipating that he starts like the first six games. I actually do think, though, there's a world where he comes out in week one, he like lights up the Cincinnati Bengals. Did you watch that Bengals defense?
It's so bad.
It is bad.
It's so bad.
And Kevin Stefanski usually has pretty good luck against the Bengals. He usually plays well against them.
Well, we're on the topic.
It's week one. Bengals always start 0-4.
I got 2 weeks to change my tune on all this, even though it's become like a race for people to try to be the first ones to be like, I think the Browns are going to beat the Bengals in week one.
I've been saying that for a while. I think...
It feels like a lot of people have been on a race to do that. Have you been on that as well?
Yeah, I've said that pretty much since the schedule came out.
Fanta's been on it. Nick's been on it.
Like, all these people have been on JP. It. Like, it's the thing that they do.
They have slow starts because Zach Taylor forgets that he has Joe Burrow on the roster.
And their defense is putrid this year. So it's like, what do you expect? Like,
I get the recipe being there.
I was texting our buddy James Rapine the other day, telling him that Joe Flacco is going to go for 400 yards and four tutties in week one.
I'm sure James was very receptive to that. I'm sure he's very receptive to that.
He said zero chance, and I said, all right, we'll see. The Bengals always stink week one.
I'm willing to say right now
that the Browns will be 1-0 to start the
season. People have this stealing feeling about week one, and I got this feeling that Joe Burrow is out for blood all season long. Like, the reason why he's playing in these preseason games, and you might be right, the defense might be so bad that there's nothing he can do anyway, and it just doesn't matter, because you can have the world's greatest offense, and when your defense is that bad, you're just not going to win enough games. I mean, they had a sub-500 record last year in games that they scored 30-plus points. That's so hard to pull off, but they were able to pull it off. But ultimately, the defense does stink. How do you have a 3-win team, or a projected by Vegas 4.5-win team, but we're like, the Bengals are the one we snipe off?
Week one. That's the beauty of week one.
It's amazing.
1-0. Browns are starting 1-0 this year. I don't know how many wins they're going to get from there, but I think they're starting 1-0.
I think a lot of that is the idea that we know that Joe Flacco, when given the opportunities, he can slice and dice. And if he just looks anything close to what he did 2 years ago, he wasn't even really bad last year either, by the way. He did have a couple losses. I'm not saying he was great.
Some of it was they just needed to try to get Anthony Richardson out there, and that's been a disaster.
His passer rating was the exact same, identical to Aaron Rodgers last year.
Was it?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Kenny in Cleveland. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, Gus?
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, listen, I was just wondering, with this game tomorrow, they're going to still set this Dylan guy up with that little 5 and out and 10 and out. Those are high percentage passes. I mean, if they don't get away, he's got to throw the ball at least 20, 30 yards downfield instead of that little down and out stuff. That's, you know, that's, and then have Shador come in and then, you know, start throwing 20 yard passes and get in the red zone and, you know, try to go for a TD. That'd be a little unfair calling those plays, don't you think?
Well, I don't think, and Kenny, I don't think they're going to do that. And we'll get some more on Dylan Gabriel at 5:20 or so and his importance in this game. But Spencer, I mean, it's going to be a lot of what you saw last week with Dylan Gabriel.
And part of this experience is, like, for both rookie quarterbacks, it's Kevin Stefanski's job to make them as comfortable as possible. And the way that you do that is give them the things that you know they can already master or that they already have mastered. Give them situations and concepts where it's easy, quick routes, and they can just kind of get rid of the football. Shador's been brilliant at that throughout training camp. Dylan Gabriel, I think, showed us last week he can do those things. He had the 2 turnovers that everyone's going to remember. But I think you're going to see a lot more of that because that's what they're comfortable with, and they want them to come out and be able to sort of build confidence in themselves before they just start airing it out down the field.
Yeah, is tomorrow's game all about Dylan Gabriel? One national pundit says that it is. You'll hear who that is and why he thinks that coming up at 5:20. The Lead coming your way next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair, and the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.